Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Between the Swings podcast, hosted by yours truly, Alex Beaverson and Kyle Jones. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about managing our course through quarter one. We're also going to talk about the uniqueness that is Superstition Springs Golf Course. Additionally, we're going to be talking a little bit about Hot Finds of the Week, the Ripstick Challenge that we're participating in, and we're going to finally be discussing Full Swing on Netflix. Kyle, welcome.
Welcome. Hey, Alex, and welcome to you, our friend, our listener. Thanks for spending time with us. Thank you so much for listening. You, after all, are the reason why we do this. So thanks for being a part of this community. Alex, what's up? How are you?
Good, man. It's getting warm here in Phoenix, and I'm excited for the golf season that is upon us. Every day is unique and fun, and I'm glad that we have a space to talk about it. So, Kyle, thanks for letting me learn a little bit about the golf industry at your feet, man. You know, Kyle is a industry professional. I luckily can sit in that category because Kyle hired me with a title of assistant general manager. But you've been in the industry for quite some time, and you're teaching me a bunch. So I'm glad that we have a space to, like, hopefully bring others along that journey with us, you know?
Yeah, amen. Thank you for that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So quarter one was a big learning experience. It was a bunch of fun. We had a plethora of emotions. Some good days, some bad days. And I am just looking back, I'm shocked at how well it went, but also the weather we had and the ebbs and flows that is the golf industry at Superstition Springs. I want to hear your perspective. Debriefing what happened in quarter one, where does your brain go? What's happening up there looking back on this past season?
Quarter one is our time to shine as golf course operators in the Phoenix Valley. We were lucky to have played 19,000 rounds of golf in quarter one in 2024. In 2023, we did 16,343.
Okay, so we went down a little bit.
No. We went up.
Wait, 19 to 16, or did I mishear that first word?
19 to 16. So 19 in 2024.
Got it. Yes.
Yeah. And 16,3 in 2023.
Okay.
So, sorry if I misspoke there.
No.
Yeah, nearly 2,700 more rounds of golf played in the first 90 days of the year, I guess an extra day because of leap year. So that certainly helps that category, right? But it's our time to shine because we are so lucky to welcome a golfer from all across the nation, and not just this nation, but other nations as well, right? A lot of winter visitors from Canada. So I think expectations go up quite a bit. Our intention is absolutely there. One thing that I've been so happy to talk about with you and our team is our team's ability to have varying perspectives, mm-hmm. right? I think you joining the team gives us the opportunity to really have an outsider's perspective and be unapologetically us. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, gosh, I've been doing this ever since I've had a job. And, you know, you bring this background of caring about people and making sure that when they leave our facility, they're leaving with the feeling of peace,
yeah,
or relaxation and restoration. And that brings a massive focus on hospitality. So our intention is always on the human being and not just the golfer. But when you have humans that are filling your tee sheet from all across the nation, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to welcome these people to the Phoenix market, to our home, mm-hmm. For a short or an extended period of time. So it's quite unique that 30 to 50% of our tee sheet will be an out-of-state visitor for the entirety of quarter one. So there's an intention behind the hospitality, not just behind welcoming someone to a game of golf at our facility,
yeah,
but welcoming them to our home as you know, in Phoenix, Arizona as well, and hoping they enjoy their stay. So there's bigger picture behind the conversations that we have, mm-hmm. and we take that responsibility well, and it allows us to execute with proper intention and excitement for quarter one.
Yeah, I think That's one thing I admire about your leadership is we chase a white ball around for 4.5 hours, this green grass area. But you've always said it's our home. Let's welcome people as if it's our own home and let's treat them as if they were a brother and sister coming, or it's a visitor coming to our home. And what does that mean for them? Right. This past quarter one, would you say for the people that don't know Arizona golf, is quarter one always the busiest season in Phoenix?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. You circle quarter one as your playoffs and Super Bowl, to use a football analogy, for the whole entire calendar year. That's what you're looking for. Weather is just, it's fantastic. We have to deal with some frost delays. Gets a little bit cold for about an hour to 90 minutes after the sun comes up in January, maybe early February, but February and March is near perfect. I mean, we're sitting recording this podcast right now at 83 degrees with just a touch of wind. So absolutely perfect golf weather. Perfect. Playing conditions are pristine. We build our budgets also to be able to execute on that expectation and build the best golf course and the best facility in quarter one.
Yeah. And this past quarter, we were hit with a handful of weather days. And coincidentally, to use that Super Bowl analogy, it really is a Super Bowl around the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I remember the energy, not only at our course, but I think in all of Phoenix, because it's the largest outdoor sporting event in the country.
Yes.
It's in Phoenix. The people who are traveling here like golf. So of course they're going to want to play different golf courses, and our course is buzzing. And then we walk into the course over Waste Management, rain hit us. And it was just about a month before that I was starting to learn how rain actually impacts our course. And when I first started, you're like, yeah, rain impacts our course. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, rain really impacts our course. Talk to us about the uniqueness that is Superstition Springs.
Superstition Springs lies within the flood control basin of Maricopa County. So there's a chunk of land that the state of Arizona, or Maricopa County itself, designates as an area that needs to be used for a specific purpose. And we're so lucky that back in the mid-80s, they decide that they will allow a golf course to be built on this land, because nothing else can be. So beautiful property that we have our 18 holes built on, 194 acres, split just about in half by the Highway 60, which runs east-west across Phoenix Metropolitan. But the downside of that is the flood control basin is designed to be a catch basin for rainfall up to 7 miles north and 7 miles east of Superstition Springs Golf Club. So rain will fall, collect through the gutters or streets, and make its way down to canals or flood basins along the 60 and head down to our golf course.
Yeah.
So it can happen in increments, anywhere from 1/2 inch to 1 full inch can close the golf course for 9 holes or 18 holes for half a day, 1 day, or 2 days. So when a golf course operator gets weather impact, you usually have to make the decision, what is the playability of my golf course like, and how is this going to impact my guests or my golfers' experience?
Yeah.
But at our golf course, we can receive 1/2 inch of rain, which is just enough to be a great sprinkling for the entire golf course, maybe some wet areas in low-lying areas. But because this water has collected underneath the 60, we now have a cart path that is impassable. We cannot get through and therefore have to close down for a certain period of time. That 1/2 inch mark within 24 hours is when the course can be closed for 1/2 day to a full day on the north nine or the back nine on our property. If we get closer to that 1 inch mark within 24 hours, it can be enough to fill up flood basins, which are lakes or water hazards, which are intentionally kept dry or empty so that when water does come off the 60, it fills these up. But at that 1 inch mark, these basins are likely already full and will exceed capacity and breach into our playing corridor. Yeah. So as a manager, it becomes difficult. We're constantly waiting for a flow of water to come off the highway and to see at what point is it going to breach those flood basins and head out onto the golf course. So it's a dicey game of trying to make sure that we forecast the weather impact at the correct time and how we then communicate it to our guest.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So if you're listening, like if you were to just say, this is Superstition Springs, and correct me if I'm wrong, draw a circle, a 7-mile radius circle around Super. We get rain accumulated from that 7-mile radius on our course.
I would say more a semicircle circle in the northeast direction from the golf course.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's fascinating because sometimes we don't actually get rain at our course, but somewhere down the road they do, because that's just the nature of Phoenix and the desert. You can have pockets of swarms of rain or whatever. And then suddenly we show up at the course and there's tons of water flowing down that 60 right onto our course. And like you said, it's both frustrating but understandable, because our course is supposed to do that. It's supposed to catch the water from around to keep the city safe, right?
I mean, it is.
So frustrations about that. What are some frustrations about being a golf course operator managing Superstition Springs? Me and you talked a lot about trash. I mean, it's frustrating. I want to hear your perspective on that. Additionally, a lot of people come to our course and they think the lakes aren't full. And it's like, we try to educate them as best we can. They're not supposed to be full.
Right.
But luckily around Waste Management Open, we got some rain. So we had beautiful full lakes. It was a good time. But I want to hear your thoughts on leading and managing Superstition uniquely. And what keeps you up at night when the rain starts?
Well, it's my responsibility and our responsibility as the leaders of this team to set operational setup and service standards that we can expect as a square one.
Yeah.
Here's our square one that we're going to start every single day that we know our guest is going to arrive to. And then our team is going to apply their individual energy and intention to lift that experience even further. We're coming into a situation where we're at square -5 now we're spending additional resources, time and energy, employee work, to get the golf course to a playable level. Mm-hmm. So there's times when we're out there pumping and pushing or relocating water from one area to the other, and we can get the course playable in time. Luckily, this is our back nine. So if we think about it, golfers go off first thing in the morning, and it's about 2.5 to 3 hours until they get to this area where the cart path would be flooded. So gives our team that time and attention to go and tackle that area. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it may put us behind one other item for that one day. So we do everything we can to communicate any time their expectation might be just a step behind square one, or maybe the square two or three we hope it could possibly be at. So we had some tricks up our sleeves to make sure we had communication going.
Yeah. What did we do uniquely around Waste Management too? Because we have to manage the expectation of our golfer. Mm-hmm. So they spend a certain dollar, like our golf course sits at a price point, and then people have expectations based on that price point. Now we live in a flood basin, it's around Waste Management Open, people are from out of town, they have high expectations on their round of golf, as they should. Then they walk on our course, there's puddles of water. I was shocked at the hospitality that our team offered, and you know what we did to help combat the expectations of that golfer that came in. Do you remember what we did?
Oh, yes.
My favorite thing was the cookie cart. So I'll talk about this one.
Amen. The cookie cart.
That's right. So, we were sitting in a staff meeting one day and we said, hey, like what can we do? And we said, let's give warm cookies to our golfers out on course while they're playing at no charge. Right. I mean, it's a low expense for us. And when they're warm, it's a little cold outside. Yes, we live in Phoenix, but it can get cold here, especially, you know, when it's rainy and cold in, you know, February. And, me and you and our food and beverage director at the time, we just loaded in a cart, 144 cookies or whatever, and we just passed out these warm cookies. And it caused us to have conversations with our golfers. Hey, how's it going out here? We paused and stopped with every single one. Is there anything else you need? Most of them said, no, thank you for this cookie. I wasn't expecting it. And then we kind of gave him some expectations on, hey, the next hole, just so you know, there's some standing water around the corner, yada, yada, yada. But it really gave our team that expectation, that intention with every golfer out on the course. And I loved that.
Yeah. The amount of information that we want to be able to give to our golfer that's playing our facility on a day that might be impacted by this, it's hard to give that level of information to a guest.
Yeah.
And we only have so many touch points and so much time for those interactions and that communication to happen. So what better way to, one, break down any kind of communication barrier there might be?
Yeah.
Hey, here's a cookie. And while you're enjoying this cookie, let me provide some insight on why you may have seen some of the things that you've seen.
Yeah.
And then while you're out there, if you happen to see, you know, a piece of trash that was floating in a piece of water that we can get, I mean, any guest seeing that intention, it goes a long way. They understand that the experience they had today, they saw a few things that they will now provide a lot more grace and a flexibility on, because they're understanding, because we tackle it with the human approach and make sure that they understand the scenario that we deal with.
Yeah. And it was fun too. You know, we have a passion here at our course to change the dynamic between the, like, most people think a marshal is super grumpy and they're on your back all the time. And where that is sometimes the case, the cookie cart allowed for us to quote unquote marshal in a way that they didn't expect. So we showed up, handed them a cookie, and they're like, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting you to tell us that we need to speed up, or I was expecting you to tell us that we're, you know, need to skip a hole or whatever. And we said, no, have a good time. We just want to say thanks for being here amidst the weather and the standing water and these types of things.
Yeah, it was great that you, myself, our food and beverage director, we would take the opportunity to do it maybe once a day, but then grace someone else with the opportunity to provide that surprise and delight. So they got to see the guest reaction and how much it meant to them. So that was the first trick up our sleeve.
Yeah.
The second one, I think we were lucky to be able to provide this, right? Yeah. Like I said, 2,700 extra rounds in quarter one. People are playing the golf course and the Thursday through Sunday that the biggest golf event in the country happens to be in Phoenix, we're battling weather.
Yeah.
And let me paint a picture real quick. You can drive your golf ball right down the middle of the fairway and you'll find your ball every time. But picture holes that have a water hazard. And those water hazards are now 10, 20, maybe even 30% larger around the lake edges because they're so swollen with all this overflow. And even some holes on the golf course where they will have to channel floodwaters from one basin to another.
To another.
So now a golfer that may miss a fairway by 10, 15 yards, not a horrible miss, something you and I do every day, something the common golfer is going to do just as often as hit a fairway, right? And these are locations where you'd probably find yourself losing a ball. And we understand that these 4 days specifically, 75%+ of our tee sheet, they're in and out.
Yeah.
They are not here for a long period of time, and maybe they haven't played the golf course before. So I don't have the opportunity to be out there and tell you, hey, this is where we have unintentional floodwaters today. Yeah. Don't hit there. So we were lucky enough to partner with one of our vendors and say, hey, if we gave every golfer that played our golf course one sleeve of your golf ball, can we restock those at a preferred rate? You know, you're getting great business. We're in a little bit of a bind. And we were luckily able to anticipate this hindrance to a guest's experience and solve it before they even had this issue. So this was something that happened right at the check-in counter. So you check in. Hey, golfers, it's cart path only because of the rain. That was something any golfer could likely understand
that.
And then we took it one step further. There's going to be a handful of holes on the golf course, maybe 6, 7 holes where the right shot in the wrong area is going to lose a ball in an area that you shouldn't by our course's normal playing conditions.
Yeah.
So we'll replace those balls for you. So great intention and a big win.
huge win. I mean, so much fun. A golfer came in to check in, and let's talk about the contrary for a second. Imagine with me, you're going to a golf course and they don't tell you what to expect that day, and you're expecting pristine conditions. And then suddenly you go out on hole number one, it's decent. Hole number two, there's now floodwaters. Three, you would say to yourself, man, I wish that somebody would have told me, because it would have changed my expectation. And that's kind of what that ball brought us. Everyone checked in. Here's three golf balls. And it came with an explanation as to why.
Yeah.
And it was a phenomenal, it was a huge win, big leadership learning, but also a good opportunity for us to create a little smile for every golfer.
Yeah. Turn that negative into a positive.
Yeah. So, quarter one in the books, lots of fun. It's going to be fun to listen back to this podcast this time next year to debrief quarter one of 2025, you know? So it's going to be a good moment.
They're ever changing.
I know. We are participating in something really, really fun at our course, the Ripstick Speed Challenge. Now, for those of you who haven't heard of Ripstick, we are partnering with Ripstick at our course, Superstition Springs, to become a better, more agile, longer hitters, maybe, hopefully, and we're doing a little contest. From your perspective, you know, maybe in two sentences, tell me what the Ripstick is.
Ripstick is a device, looks very similar to a golf club, shaft, grip, instead of a club head, just a small weight at the end that you can insert and remove three other weights. So you start with zero weights, then you can move up to one, two, and three weights. The Ripstick program includes an app that has videos. It has a curated program where you go through steps one, two, three, four, and you track your progress all the way through. So I'll start with a little bit on why I'm thrilled to be doing this.
Yes.
I've got an 18-month-old baby Lennon at home, greatest thing in the world, but man, speed has gone out the window. I can hit the golf ball okay, but I'm seeing irons, maybe a half club, just not being able to hit it as far as I used to, and off the tee box, definitely noticing a difference.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing this to gain the biggest difference, biggest distance or gain the most speed.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping to do is push the top speed that my body's able to compete at or swing at. So now when I go out on the golf course, I can produce my current swing a lot more comfortably without feeling like I'm producing that max effort.
That's good.
Right? Think of a Corvette. A Corvette can drive so beautifully at 75 or 100 miles an hour because it's made and can go 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled to see how this goes.
Totally. I mean, that's a unique perspective as to why, because I think people who know Ripstick or think of long hitters, you think of Kyle Berkshire or Bryson DeChambeau, they're just crushing it, right? And we're jumping into the Ripstick and everyone's like, let's see how far we're going to hit it. And you're like, I want that, but I also just want to be more agile. I just want to, you know, get my average up a little bit.
Yeah, not moving a whole bunch at home other than chasing the kiddo around, exactly. Right? So let's push my body off the golf course to move a little bit faster so that when I am on the golf course, it's a lot more comfortable. I don't have to feel like I'm going after it very hard. And now maybe I'm producing a couple extra yards. So it's going to be big. I mean, I've done four speed challenges already.
Yep.
After the first one, you tend to drop a little bit. I dropped 1 mile an hour.
Yeah.
And then after the second, up five. So 5 miles an hour, quick math for all of you golf nerds out there. You know the math, but if you aren't a golf nerd like me and you don't know the math, 5 miles an hour of swing speed should be 1.5 miles an hour of ball speed. So that's 7.5 miles an hour of ball speed gain. And that should be approximately 2 yards of carry in the air.
Yeah.
As long as your golf ball's launching at the right, you know, angle and spin. So my golf ball is, so that 7.5 mile an hour of ball speed could potentially be 15 yards of carry. So, obviously it's all about fine tuning it, but yeah, let's use that Ripstick so that when we're on the golf course, it's just that Jamba Juice feeling of nice and smooth swing,
Nice and smooth swing, man. Yeah. And I was really impressed. I did the first day, second day. I haven't done my third day. So you're, I think, 2 days ahead of me. And it's short, it's fast, it's easy. And after that, I just sat on the driving range and just kept piping drives because I was like,
you're thrilled. You feel great. Totally. I will say, I feel amazing after doing this. You swing right-handed, you swing left-handed, you do some swings where you're taking pauses. So that now you have to generate speed from a stopped motion at the top of your backswing. Yeah. So it's just a great feel to do this. And then, yeah, you stay out there and whack a few more. I've chosen to do it on my lunch breaks, and then I've done two of them at home, right when I get home after work too. So quick and easy and good results. I hope we can bring this to our members and guests and they join us on this challenge too.
Yeah. It'll be highly beneficial for sure. One thing I love about the golf industry is things like the Ripstick is there's so much product and so much stuff and so much cool people and so many awesome stories and so many things that are out there. And when I wake up in the morning and I scroll Instagram, or in the afternoon when I'm getting a mental break and I like jump online and, you know, read golf articles, every golf article, every golfer has a new brand they're wearing. So we're going to start something new this week called, Hot Find of the Week.
Hot Find, baby.
Yeah.
And, Hot Find of the Week.
This is just a time where we get to bring to the table something that we found that was cool. So I'm curious, we chatted before this about, we send each other a couple Instagram like videos or pictures of this brand, but you have to talk about it, cause you found it and I love it and it is your heart. So what is it?
They're spot on. These guys are spot on. They're out of New York. They're called Gum Tree Golf and Nature Club. The shout out this week is going to their item. It dropped today.
Yes.
It's on their website. It celebrates their mission of the Mental Health Awareness Club. So it's a golf and nature club. It celebrates getting people outside to promote joy, happiness, peace. The things that I'm talking about on the golf course, right? Yeah. I mean, so get this. This shirt, they also partnered with Titleist to put this logo and quote on a golf ball, on a hat. So a ton of great product. The shirt says, lose your ball, find yourself. Perfect,
so
right?
Good.
And then on the bottom, it says, Gumtree Golf and Nature Club is here to remind you that the time spent in nature can help relieve stress and anxiety, improve your mood, and boost feelings of happiness.
Yeah.
And when you strike the golf ball perfectly, that's what we call ball euphoria. That's fantastic. That's what so many golfers are chasing after. What Gumtree Golf and Nature Club is talking about is what every human being on golf on the earth can experience on the golf course,
yeah.
Right? There's no barrier. There's no boundary to what nature and playing 18 holes of golf outside can get you. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, it really is in line with what we're trying to do it here between the swings. And it's a cool design. It's a cool shirt. They're a cool Instagram. They take good pictures, valuable. I think just this week they posted like, hey, we're going to delete Instagram for a mental health break. We'll see you in a week. And I was like, this is so good. You know, they're really living the mission. So that, you know, good find. Hot find of the week.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Shout out to that. Yeah. You've been rocking a brand new jacket or hoodie, a little bit on the streetwear side.
Yeah.
But I love it. Tell me about it.
Well, here's the thing. I'm learning to be uniquely me in the golf industry. So, you know, for those of you that can see on video, I'm wearing Converse. I don't always wear Converse to the golf course. I did today. Nike Golf, it's this streetwear vibe. And, you know, they don't make golf clubs or golf balls anymore, but they put this sweatshirt out and I the gold Nike swoosh. I love it. It's me. So
it is.
I bought it immediately.
I love it. It's perfectly you. I had to give you the shout out, but yeah, that's AB's find of the week.
That's right. The
Nike hoodie.
Yeah. So, tune in with us to see what else we find. If you have any cool brands or logos or things that you're like, hey, this would be cool. We'll talk about it. If it's a hot find, you know, we'd love to feature it kind of in our conversations. Let's end our convo today, I think, with a little bit of Full Swing from Netflix. If you follow golf, you follow Full Swing. If you, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. Like they're together. Mm. And you can't help but love golf and love Full Swing. It's so good. And not only good, like if you love the game of golf and see behind the scenes, but like there's leadership learnings. You're learning the insides and outs of these people's lives and how hard it is to be a professional golfer. What stuck out to you in this, you know, this Netflix season two of Full Swing?
What stuck out to me was season two for me, it was only one episode long. I didn't notice any credits. I didn't notice any commercial breaks. No, I'm joking.
You just watched it like one episode.
I couldn't stop all the way through. It was a day off vibe, just start to finish. The next thing I know, it's like,
so true though.
Isn't this the trailer? Like I just, oh no. So, no, I loved it. Yeah. When one came out, it made me fall in love with golf and following what's happening on the PGA Tour kind of all over again.
Yeah.
Because I can admit that I kind of pulled back a little bit when there's so much going on with LIV and PGA Tour and all of this bifurcation and diversity or splitting up these two tours, and I kind of pulled away. And so when one came out, it was so nice to see the different perspectives, get different people's input and feedback on why they did what they did, and you see the human being side behind everything. But this one, it was even better. It was even better. And what I loved about it was we're not just following several human beings who are trying to raise families by playing the game of golf that we love and talk about so much.
Yeah.
But they introduced this idea about mental health and it affecting your ability to perform.
Yeah.
And you see one PGA pro who openly accepts it.
Openly accepts the mental coaching,
the
right?
Invite to go see a mental coach.
A mental coach,
yes.
Yeah.
And you see one pro who battles it and says, no, they won't do it, at least for a period of time. And do you remember who the person was? It was the same person in both of these pros' life that
it was
brought up the idea. Do you know who it was?
It was the caddy, wasn't it?
It was the caddy.
The stinking caddy.
So the person whose job is to make sure they are in the right state to perform an action that takes 1 second, 2 seconds long, a golf swing is what I'm talking about, right? And they're seeing how all of this turmoil or anxiety or stress that's happening between the swings or even completely off the golf course, and how it's affecting their ability to play golf on a physical level. What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's crazy to me because, you know, as I watch sports, I've been a fan of sports. So many people who commentate on sports say that golf is one of the hardest sports because of the mental toughness that it takes. You can shank a shot, and then you have to stand up that very next shot and somehow have the mental wherewithal to be like, another day on the job, you know, or you could be in an argument with your spouse or be struggling, you know, financially, and then have to walk onto the golf course and throw all of that away and then compete. And yes, other sports have this, but it seems like golf, it's so hyper-focused on that golf swing and it's just you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Like the mental toughness that it takes. And when we watched Full Swing, you got to see the back end of these people's lives and the kids and what they're having for lunch. And then they go on the golf course and that just all that's supposed to go away. And it's like, I think there were two stories where it talked about two different people, one person who accepted it, one that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who those people were. Who's that?
So it's Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark. Yes. Chooses to work with his mental health coach.
Yes.
And amazing the timing that he chooses to do this. And he skyrockets. He wins right before the US Open, goes out there to LA Country Club, finishes off Rory and Ricky Fowler on Sunday to win the US Open. That was really the first that the whole golfing world started to hear his name. And since then, an absolute stud. And what caught my eye was just the last couple weeks watching the players. He's coming down on Sunday, kind of, he's in competition on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's needing to make a putt. He ended up needing to make a putt on 18 to tie and force a playoff. But on 17, after hitting his tee shot, he is walking across the bridge, head up, taking in the experience on what is arguably the most iconic par three in the world.
So
I mean,
good.
Just in the setting and the time frame, and he is head up, living his life between the swings, and you see the other golfer, who was Xander, just not performing well, head down and just all business. And you can tell that he's probably working. He's probably thinking about the next shot and what's going on. And Wyndham doesn't end up winning this golf tournament, but when I'm watching, you can see the announcers comment on that. Look at Wyndham and him stand, you know, just watching the crowd and seeing what's going on. I mean, it is a beautiful setting, and he's taking it all in.
He's taking it in.
And that's something that I don't think we would have seen Wyndham do a couple years ago. So that's a massive win. I want to switch and go on the other side of that coin and talk about Joel Damon, right? He became everybody's, you know, first swing famous, Netflix famous golfer, and he deserves it because he's an amazing guy, has no problem going out there and being this working class golfer that finishes top 20, top 10, and makes some decent money, right? I think he was quoted in season one saying, "Someone's got to be the 75th best player on tour. It might as well be me." And you see him follow a season of success with welcoming a baby into the world and start to experience some struggles. And me having baby Lennon at home and, you know, being 18 months old, I don't think there's any way I could have maintained any kind of performance at a professional or exceptional level. So to see the struggle that some golfers have gone through, the Rorys and the Spieths and the Rickies, I would encourage you listeners, look at the timing of their struggles on tour, and it's probably the timing of their kids being in diapers, or at least the first 2 years or 18 months, right? Just, it takes a big toll on things. If you're still trying to be an active father and be in their lives. And so that's a struggle that we see him try and take on. But let's talk about a scene that you and I have talked about quite a bit.
The airplane scene.
It's the airplane scene. Yeah, dude, paint a picture for us. What was going on?
It was him with his caddy in the airplane, and his caddy virtually, you know, fill in the blanks where I'm missing. But his caddy's like talking to him about, hey, you know, we could be better. You could be better.
He's not playing well.
He's pretty emotional on the airplane. And Joel ended up saying, like, go caddy and make a bunch of money for Taylor Gooch.
I'm a dumpster fire.
Yes, I'm a dumpster fire.
I can't pull things together.
Yeah. And Taylor Gooch at the time is, you know, killing it in the Live Tour, and he's making tons of money. I'm sure his caddy, of course, is making tons of money. And his caddy goes, no. For, you know, for me, it almost makes me emotional thinking about the relationship that caddy has with him, like the friendship, because most people you would think would be like, you know what? You're right. Like, I'm going to go make some real money. And he said, no, I want to do this with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I have that quote written down right here. Yeah. So you and I caught that same thing. You know, he's telling him, go.
Yeah.
Gino, you are the best caddy in the world. You deserve to go make money.
Yeah.
And he says, no. And through tears, both of these guys are choked up. And Joel just says, you know, thank you for caring about me.
Yeah.
And Gino's response is, I don't care if we miss five cuts in a row, as long as we're working towards the right thing and headed in the right direction.
See,
what I can't do is miss five cuts in a row and see yourself, you know, drink yourself silly on the weekends or something along those lines. And that was the breaking point where Joel says that he's going to get some help. So you don't see much of a follow-up on that. He has since played some decent golf. So, man, I can't wait to see him pull it out and see the results of his effort that he's going to put into this.
It's true, man. There's so much leadership learning there, like, you know, effort and failing is okay if you try and all this. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
But that full swing, I mean, that was a moment that stuck out to me amongst many others, but what a fun moment to like live and work in the golf industry while We can also watch a lot of real-time golf on Netflix at home, like behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's this amazing connection between golf and life. And what I took away from it was the professional golfer, their families relying on them to perform something physical to make a living, right? And to raise their family. And it just paints this picture that we're understanding that as individuals, we can't expect the best physical performance every single day.
Yeah.
So how do we then prepare ourselves and get ourselves into this mental state to create the most efficient, you know, performance that we can on a daily or weekly basis? There has to be some kind of effort on the mental side to then put ourselves in that position to perform. Yeah. So very, very cool how they performed season two of Full Swing.
Oh, so good. Well, that concludes, I think, our conversation for today, man. So much fun. I do want to say thank you all for listening, being a part of our community. Kyle and I really want to emphasize the being a part. We're going to be doing things together. We're going to be doing things where you can be a part of the Between the Swings community. If you have time, open up your Instagram, follow us, be a part of what we're doing, join the conversation, know that you're loved, get out on the golf course. Remember that golf is just green grass and hot dogs.
It's green grass and hot dogs, folks. Thank you for being our friends. Thanks for being here with us. We want to hear from you. Share how we can put a smile on your face or make your heart a little bit happier today. Because after all, we're here for you.